I want to share briefly from a passage from Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. And if you can join with me as we read together. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. You know, this may be a very familiar passage for some of us. It's one that describes Jesus calling his first disciples and how even in the midst of that calling, he performs a miraculous catch of fish. You know, where Jesus tells the fishermen that instead of catching fish, that they're now to catch people, and to which they responded by leaving everything behind and they started following Jesus. Now, prior to this chapter in the earlier parts of Luke, we read about Jesus' baptism and his genealogy, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, and even being rejected in his hometown of Nazareth, driving out an evil spirit in Capernaum, and healing many, including Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Now, the scene in Luke chapter 5 begins with Jesus standing by this lake, and there were crowds of people from all over the region coming to hear him teach. And they were kind of wanting to see him, right? Wanting to hear. And then Jesus sees two empty boats, and he gets into one of them belonging to Simon Peter. And he asks Simon to put out a little into the water so that he could teach the crowd from Simon Peter's boat. Now, after speaking to the crowd, Jesus then turns to Simon Peter, and he says in verse 4, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, I've titled today's message, "Let Down the Nets." And while there be many different angles and various truths about this passage, I really want to specifically focus on Jesus' request to Simon Peter, or even his command to Simon Peter, and what Simon Peter's response was. You know, when Jesus told Simon to let down the nets, Simon basically had a choice to make. Should he or should he not obey Jesus? Should he follow Jesus' command to let down the nets? Now, of course, we just read that Simon obeyed and he followed Jesus' instruction. Now, there's really only one point that I want to share with you today, and that's really Simon Peter's act of obedience. You know, his obedience led to a massive catch of fish, but it also led to an encounter for Simon Peter as Jesus as Lord. Now, I don't want to put Simon on a pedestal and say that he was a prime example of immediate obedience and that he wholeheartedly obeyed, because it wasn't really like that. Now, who was Simon Peter? He was a fisherman, right? And where do we find him in chapter 5? Well, he had just finished toiling all night long. He was trying to catch fish, and he hadn't caught a thing. He was probably really tired, really frustrated, maybe even feeling that, you know, after working all night, his work was in vain, because he didn't catch a thing. Maybe it was like another night on the job, and I don't have anything to show for it. And Remember, he was already washing the nets with his other colleagues. You know, they were probably putting, you know, washing the nets, getting out all of the, I don't know, rocks or boots that or sandals that they caught instead of fish. And they were probably ready to call it a day and to just go back home and to sleep. Because they were working all night. They were probably so tired. But despite his tiredness, he allowed Jesus into his boat. And he even put out a little from shore so that Jesus could continue or could teach the crowd that had gathered. Now, all seemed well. You know, Jesus was talking to the multitude of people. But then afterwards, Jesus turns from the crowd directly to Simon Peter. And he addresses him and he says to Simon Peter, "Put down the nets, but put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Uh-oh, now it's getting personal. You know, Jesus is turning from the crowd and signaling out Simon Peter. He turns his attention from the masses and he turns his attention to Peter. Now, have you ever had an experience where all was fine and dandy, where it's like, oh yeah, God, you know, you're speaking to everyone except for me. But then all of a sudden, you feel like Jesus talking directly to you. And you're kind of feeling, God, are you talking to me? Was that really you that was speaking? And are you asking me to do something? And it's kind of like having one of these spotlights shine directly on you. And it's kind of a little uncomfortable. You know, it's kind of a little like, I don't want to be in the spotlight. I want the spotlight to be on the crowd, but not on me. And this might have been how Simon Peter felt. You know, but what's really interesting is, why didn't Jesus ask to go into the other boat? Why Simon Peter's boat? And I think it's because Jesus had something to do in Simon Peter's life. God wanted to do something in Simon's life. And so if you ever feel that God is shining the spotlight directly onto you or me, I think it's because God wants to do something special in your life or in mine. Perhaps God wants to perform a miracle. Perhaps God wants to give you this opportunity to trust in him. And when you do that, that maybe God will do something that you never even thought would be possible. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were Simon Peter, I might be thinking, Jesus, you want me to do what? Like, Jesus, you don't understand. We've been trying to fish all night and we haven't caught a thing. Jesus, you're a carpenter. What does a carpenter know about fishing? I'm the professional fisherman. What does a carpenter know about fishing? You might know how to build a table or build a, I don't know if they had bookcases back then, but to build a chair or something with your hands. But what do you know? What does a carpenter know about fishing, right? Well, I don't really know that much about fishing, okay? And I'd be the first to admit that I'd rather enjoy eating a fish than fishing. And I've, in my whole life, I think I've only gone fishing twice, and I've only caught one little small fish. So I'd be the first to admit that I don't know anything about fishing. But from what I've heard from avid fishermen like Pastor Ted, the best time to go fishing is actually at night or early in the morning before the crack of dawn. And you're supposed to go where fish are. So if you let down your nets in this location and you wait a bit and you don't catch anything, you kind of move on and you go to another location. And I'm not sure, I guess as a fisherman, you have certain techniques, right? And you kind of have certain secrets of the trade. And I'm sure that Simon and all of his colleagues used all of their best fishing techniques that night before. You know, they probably went out at the perfect time. You know, they worked all night. They probably cast the net pretty wide and pretty nicely. They probably moved from place to place. They tried everything. And they waited. And they waited. But there was nothing. the fish were not coming to them. The fish were not biting. There was no catch. Now, Jesus' instruction to Simon to let down the nets for a catch, that just did not make sense. They had just come back from fishing, and it went against all that Simon Peter knew as a fisherman. He had the experience as a fisherman, not Jesus. He was a professional fisherman. What Jesus said just totally shook his world because it didn't make sense. It wasn't the right time to fish. It was broad daylight. They're already cleaning their nets. What a hassle. What an inconvenience. But Simon, he listened to Jesus, despite what he knew as a fisherman. And I wonder, like, what Simon was also maybe thinking, like, well, what if I do what Jesus says? What are my other fellow fishermen going to think about me? You know, are they going to think I'm crazy? Like, you forgot the secrets of the trade. No one lets down their nets in broad daylight. But he didn't care what the others might have thought of him. He still let down the nets. We see in verse 5, actually, Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." You know, he probably was a lot more polite than I would have been. You know, maybe a little bit reluctant and wary, but he still did that. "But because you say so, Jesus, because you're Jesus, and because you healed my mother-in-law, I will let down the nets. Maybe what have I got to lose?" You know, perhaps Peter remembered what Jesus did for him previously, how he healed the sick, how he performed the various miracles, and how he even worked in his own life, how he healed his mother-in-law. You know, when God asks us to do something that doesn't make sense to us, we should remember what God has done in the past. Do you remember what God has done before and the miracles that he's performed in our own lives? Do we trust him even when what he's asking us to do doesn't make sense? Can we be like Peter and say, "But because you say so, Jesus, I will do as you command, because you're Jesus and I'm not"? Now, we all know what happened once Simon Peter obeyed. We see in verses 6 and 7, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to break. We see a miracle happen, right? Right as he let down the nets, all these fish swarmed into the nets, right? And it was so much that the other boat had to come and help them. He had to call for backup, right? I mean, I don't know if he was really thinking that he would catch maybe 2 fish, 3 fish, but it was a miraculous catch of fish. Something happened that defied his logic as a fisherman. Something happened that went against all his professional training. Something happened, and it was a miracle. Simon and his fellow fishermen, they were shocked. They were so surprised and astonished at the amount of fish that they had just caught. You know, but beyond the catch of fish, something else happened in Simon Peter's life. Something that was even greater than the catch of fish. You know, you'll notice that in verse 5, Simon addresses Jesus as master. But when we look at verse 8, just a few verses later, after the miracle of the catch of fish, he addressed Jesus as Lord. Between those 3 verses, something shifted. There was a sudden transformation in Simon's life. You know, a recognition that Jesus just wasn't any master, he wasn't any carpenter, but that he was coming into direct contact with deity. You know, his response in verse 8 was really telling. He said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." He recognized that he had a lack of faith. He recognized that you know, he probably doubted that he could catch the fish because he had just tried catching fish and nothing happened. But he also recognized it wasn't about his know-how. It wasn't about his past experiences as a fisherman. It wasn't about even the olden days. He recognized that Jesus was the miracle worker, that Jesus was his master. Not his master anymore, but that he was the Lord of his life. And I wonder what would have happened if Simon Peter didn't obey. What if he said, "No, no, Lord, trust me, I got this. I'm the fisherman. We just let out the nets like half an hour ago, and we caught nothing. So why should we do this again?" Like, what if he protested and didn't put out into deep water? What if he didn't let down the nets? Well, for one thing, obviously no fish would have been caught. And they wouldn't have been eyewitnesses to a miracle. They wouldn't have been able to have fish for breakfast. They wouldn't have been able to take their fish that they caught and sell it at the local market. They wouldn't have been able to make a profit, right? But of more significance, perhaps Simon would not have known Jesus intimately as the Lord of his life. Perhaps Jesus wouldn't have built the church upon Simon Peter as the rock. I know this is all pure speculation, but the fact remains that if Peter did not obey Jesus, he would have definitely missed out on all that Jesus had in store for him. Now, sometimes Jesus might be turning from the crowd and focusing his attention solely upon you as an individual and speaking to you. Even though it might seem uncomfortable, if Jesus has a word for you, you'd better pay attention and listen up. Perhaps you're about to experience a miracle in your life. Perhaps God is going to do something that doesn't make sense, that you would never believe that God is able to do. Perhaps God is going to have a breakthrough in your life, and you're right at the cusp of that. But if Jesus is speaking to you, is prompting you, and asking you to do something, my dear brothers and sisters, don't miss out. Don't miss out on that opportunity for God to do something special in your life. Who knows what God might do? But what Jesus is asking you, all of us, is to take that step of faith and to say, "God, I know it doesn't make sense, but because you say so, I'm going to let down the nets. I'm going to cast it, even though I just casted it, and I didn't get anything." You know, in Simon Peter's case, his obedience led to a great catch. But really, it's not about the catch. It's really about obedience. It's about obeying what God is asking us to do. The catch is secondary, and it's an added benefit or bonus, right? No matter how many fish they get. And sometimes, like in Simon's case, that bonus is so beyond his expectation. But again, it's about obedience. It's really about obedience. You know, as we're running out of time, but as we close, I just really want to ask you, you know, what is that net that Jesus is asking you to let down today? Maybe it goes against all that you know and that you're familiar with. Maybe it's something that defies your own logic or defies your own professional training. What is that net that Jesus is asking you to cast down or to let down today? It doesn't have to be big or dramatic, but start with the small things that Jesus is asking you to do. Because when you take that step of faith, when you say, "Jesus, I know it doesn't make sense, but I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to let down that net, and I'm going to leave the results up to you." Maybe God will do a miracle. Maybe God will use that opportunity for you to encounter him in a deeper way. Maybe he will encounter you so much that you will be changed by that small and simple act of obedience. Trust in Jesus as you obey him. Trust him for that catch, no matter what it may be. Perhaps God would use that simple step of faith, that simple step of obedience, and totally blow your mind away. Maybe he'll use that simple step of obedience and show you what it means that Jesus is Lord. Let's all stand as we close. As we close in prayer, I just really want to invite you, brothers and sisters, to really ask Jesus, are you speaking to me today? Are you asking me to do something that doesn't make sense, that really defies my own human mind? What net is it that Jesus is asking you to let down? Spend a few minutes and just release that net to the Lord now. God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this reminder from Luke. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus, you calling us, for Jesus, you speaking to us. Jesus, thank you for allowing us to even have the privilege of being in the boat with you. Jesus, being in our boat, whether it be going through whitewater rapids, or through a quiet stream, or in the fiercest of storms, Jesus, we thank you that you are in the boat with us. We thank you, Lord, that we do not have to fear. We thank you, God, that we don't have to worry. And Lord, even as we come before you, as we're together in this boat, Lord, if you're asking us to let down our nets, Father, we ask, Lord, that you would help us to obey. God, whatever that net might be, God, if you're speaking to us, help us to walk in obedience to you. God, we ask, Lord, that even as we walk and let down that net, that, Lord, you will supply the catch, whatever that catch might be. Father, that you would surprise us, you would astonish us, that, God, we would come in full anticipation of the catch that is greater than what we could ever imagine or hope for. Because you are, Lord, the one who gives us the miracle. So, God, even as we come here today or tonight, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your invitation to us to let down the nets. Father, we want to obey you. Teach us, Lord, to have obedient hearts. Lord, that you would have your way with us. God, that you would continue to speak to us. Lord, that you would continue to permeate, Lord, in our minds and our thoughts, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity, Lord, to be in this great adventure with you. Lord, we thank you, Lord. In your name we pray.